May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I love this. We're finally in the miracle season again, and we get to hear about some of the wonderful things that Jesus did, especially in the Gospel of Luke. And this story, this encounter with the centurion and the centurion slave, it's so rich and diverse. But one of the first things I lift up is I hear this man had a slave. Well, that's a little troublesome in and of itself. Now, although the Greek text is a little bit more nuanced than that, this was a manservant. It sounds like somebody who had been living under his roof for many years, and it sounds like somebody that the centurion really loved affectionately and deeply. So this was not somebody he was treating cruelly. But yet, this was somebody that he had full control over this person's life. And the centurion was used to telling people what to do. No doubt about it. And so this was a man, but he was also somebody who was humble, you know, because even though he respected the Jewish people that he lived around, he understood that there was a religion of separation. That the Jews kept to the Jews and the Gentiles kept to the Gentiles, and they really didn't encounter each other. And, you know, he was being a Roman centurion. He was one of the oppressors as well of the Jewish people. They were the governing force. And so, you know, when it says that he helped us build our synagogue, you know, as that might have been, well, this is a good way to help keep the people that you're ruling content and happy. So, that having been said, this man who asked for Jesus' help, who was so humble to say that I am not worthy of your help, he knew that there were issues. He knew that there were problems. And yet he was willing to open up and say, "Help me, Jesus. My servant is going to die. And my heart is going to be broken. I just don't know what I'm going to do." Now, from Jesus' perspective, we've gone a long way where most of Jesus' ministry is to the Jewish people. Everybody that all of his disciples that have been following him were people that he picked up in Galilee, people of the Jewish faith. And the miracles thus far have been with Jewish people. And so there's this centurion, and Jesus doesn't hesitate. Now, I know that there's different, you know, Matthew has this the encounter with the Syrophoenician woman. And there's the one with the woman asking for scraps under the table, the Gentile woman. So, and I don't remember, pardon me, I don't remember which gospel, which miracle takes place in which gospel, but This is the main encounter in Luke, where we find out that the ministry of Jesus is just not to those people within his realm. There are people on the outside, somebody who didn't in fact believe as he did. You know, and I think of that, and I think of public ministry. It's when we're working in the world, we don't ask you if you have had your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ before we feed you. We don't ask you if you've had communion or if you've asked for forgiveness for your sins before we hand you a pair of socks. Being a mission to the people of the world means that it doesn't matter what their faith is. And there's a lot of atheists on the street. There's also a lot of Christians on the street, and Buddhists and Wiccans and Jews and all sorts of other different kinds of people who come in here and share this meal together with one another. And it's okay, because we're not doing it to convert. The conversion happens because we're doing it as Christians. Conversion is a job of the Holy Spirit. We're doing it because we are Christians. We're doing it because we have the love of Jesus in our heart for our fellow man. We're doing it because he died, sacrificed. And because of that, that great gift that he gave to us, we give love. And that is some good news. Amen.
Amen.